Thank you. John chapter 16 in your Bibles. The first thought that came to mind when he said that was, well, some of us are better in the middle than others. Don't worry, the rest will be better. John chapter 16, I do appreciate the opportunity to be down here tonight. Always love to see you folks, always love to see the church. John chapter 16, we're going to start reading in verse number 7. We're only going to read the first verse, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the rest of this and then the rest of the message. Well, let's read verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7, and God's Word says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Let's pray. God, we do thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house. God, we need to hear preaching, Lord. We need to hear from Your Word. God, we thank You for the time of praise that we've already given to You. God, You've allowed us to do that with the singing. God, with the prayers that have already been lifted up. God, we care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, we care about the unsaved. Lord, we just ask that You'd be with this church service in a special way. Now, continue to speak to us, God. We just thank You for Your goodness and Your Word. God, give us something warm and fresh straight from heaven today. God, teach us something from Your Word. And we'll give You and only You praise and glory for all it's said and done. In Jesus' precious and loving and teaching, inspiring name. Amen. God tells us here in the book of John, in verse number 7, He tells us that, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." You say, what's He saying "nevertheless" to? Well, He just watched the last debate. All right. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." All right. It would be nice to hear the truth once in a while. It would be nice to be able to know that what this person's telling me has no flaws in it. I mean, what this person's telling me is not a lie at all. Not a motive. There's no motivation, no evil behind it. Every bit of it is 100% the truth. And it'd be good to hear that every now and again, huh? And in this world, we know that there's always an influence. In this world, we know that there is always a negative influence over everybody, over everything that's being done. We know that there is always a negative influence. But God gave us a promise in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. God gave us a promise. He said, "I'll build My church." And throughout the course of time, and throughout history, and all the influences come, Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Against My church. And when we come together in here, the Lord has something for us. And when we come in here together, we prepare our hearts and we praise God and we ask Him to give us something from His Word. And what He gives to us, and when He gives us something, it is the truth. We can look into God's Word and know there's no flaw. There's no evil motivation. And that when we follow it, and that when we believe it, and that when we trust in it, it gives us a path, and we walk down that path, and it's a path of truth. Verse 7 of John chapter 16, Jesus Christ preaching says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Jesus Christ, looking at His disciples, looking at those that He called apart and called apostles and gave them a special mission in life. And He told them, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Jesus Christ, here we're getting toward the end of the book of John here. We're getting toward the end of Jesus Christ's ministry on earth here. He's on His way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He just had His last Passover here with these apostles. And He says, it's expedient for Me. He says, it's expedient for My mission. It's expedient for My motive. He says, it's expedient for what I want to accomplish. He says, it's expedient for you. Even in His last days, thinking of us. And I say His last days. I'm talking about His last days on this earth, all right? He's bringing up your name. He's bringing up your prayers. He's bringing up your needs. He's bringing up your loved one. He's bringing up your protection. He's bringing up those ones that you're praying for that are unsaved that you want to see saved. Right now, He's bringing them up to the Father, all right? But in His last days in His ministry, He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. Expedient, you remember in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, I believe it's in chapter 6 and verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And he said, lest I put myself under the power of something. Lest I put something under the power of something. He said, yeah, I could probably get away with doing a lot of things. He said, yeah, there's probably a lot of things I could do and say in this life. There's a lot of things I could do, but not all things are, and then he used the word, expedient. Hey, there's something that's necessary. Hey, there are things that are helpful and that won't hurt. Hey, there are things, yeah, not all things are lawful for me to do, Paul said to the church, but he said, not all things are expedient. Not all things are necessary. Not all things will give you power. Not all things will free you. Not all things will help you. He said, not all things are expedient. Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, verse 8, reading on, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus Christ uses a three-point outline. Here in the book of John, chapter 16, uses a three-point outline. The first one being that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The first two were sin and righteousness, the last being judgment. Do you know that it's been said that any time sin and righteousness meet, they will result in judgment. He said that the Holy Ghost will come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Do you know that any time sin and righteousness meet, there will be judgment? We cannot stand before an almighty holy God without the sin being judged. That sin, there needs to be something done with that. You say, well, I've got sin in my life. Meet up with righteousness. Go in the place where there's righteousness, because that sin will be judged. There are those that sit in church services and don't want to be convicted. I have never met them. I don't know them. I don't understand them. Why would you not want to be convicted? Why would you want to have a sickness inside you and not want to see a doctor? Why would you want to have something wrong with you and not have it removed? All right, you have a sin problem, man. Put yourself in a place. Put yourself in God's Word. Put yourself in prayer. Put yourself in the church. Put yourself under real preaching. All right, put yourself where that problem that you have isn't going to be comforted and sugar-coated and coddled, but it's actually going to be preached against. By what? By the truth being presented. And when that truth is presented, your sin problem is going to conflict with it. And when I hear that and I go, well, that goes against the way I was thinking this morning. Well, that goes against the way I'm acting right now. Well, that goes against the condition of my heart, and that judgment happens. That judgment happens. Look, the Comforter will come to reprove the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want to read on tonight, and I want to use this passage to kind of draw off of it for our main point tonight. Let's look at verse 12. Jesus Christ still talking. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, another name, another title for that Comforter, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You remember Jesus Christ said, everything the Father has given to Me, I give to you. And He's saying, the Father's going to give it to Me. All power has been given to Me. He's given Me the knowledge. He's given Me the power. I'm going to give it to that Holy Spirit, to that Spirit of truth, to that Comforter, and He will give it to you. Verse 14. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. We understand that the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we understand that this Comforter, this Spirit of truth, will lead us, comparing Scripture with Scripture, will lead us to truth, will show us truth, will lead us to this thing, and this sin problem, and this righteousness that we're being drawn to, and this judgment that will be conducted hereafter, we understand that's going to happen. What truth do we have? Is the Holy Spirit speaking audibly? Is the Holy Spirit writing it in the sky with clouds? You see, when you understand this passage, when you look at this passage in context, he's talking to his apostles and he's standing there, he's looking at him, and he says, hey, I have more things to say. You have the old scriptures, you have the Old Testament, but I have more things that I have to say. You can't bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to write them down through you. And it's from me. It's directly from me. Imagine if someone were to come to you, you own your own business. Imagine if someone were to come to you and give you their resume, and in it has their, what do you call it, people they know? Referrals or whatever. References. Has their references. I'm not good with jobs. And you give you their references, all right? And you say, well, I used to, you know, be the president of Coca-Cola, and then I was the marketing director for McDonald's or something, you know. Okay, so you are pretty good at getting your business out there, all right? But the Holy Spirit comes down to us, and the Holy Spirit wrote through these men, wrote these New Testament verses, and if you were to see his reference sheet, it would say, God the Father and God the Son and myself. That's a pretty good reference sheet. You can pretty much take that as authoritative. You can pretty much bear with a little bit of confidence in that. He's got, well, who are you coming from? Well, where do you get that? Who are your references? Who's your authority? God the Father, God the Son, and myself. The Holy Spirit is authoritative. The Holy Spirit is expedient. It is expedient that we read the New Testament Scriptures. It is necessary, immediately necessary, that the power of the Holy Spirit be in our life. I want to look today, tonight, at an illustration of the Holy Spirit of God. A time when He worked in men's life. A time when He used people. I want to go to that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and look at that time when the Holy Spirit came down to this earth, was already in it, but came in a filling way. And then in chapter 3, something immediately happens. Those people go out and start working again, but there's a story told to us in the first couple verses of Acts chapter 3, and I want to look at that. So if you'll turn over there right now to the book of Acts, very next book, in the third chapter, I want to look at this story that takes place in realizing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in realizing the work of the Holy Ghost, realizing the work of the Spirit of truth. This book is one of those books that was given to us from that Holy Spirit, later on written. When he was talking to his apostle, he said, hey, I have more to say, but you can't bear it right now. But when he comes, he'll give it to you, and you'll write it down. And it'll be truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth that it is expedient for me. Hey, we love Jesus Christ. Hey, we appreciate Jesus Christ. Hey, we know what Jesus Christ has done for us. Without Him, we have nothing. Without Him, we have no access to the Father. Without Him, we have no salvation. Without Him, we have no protection. But you remember when Stephen, actually a couple chapters later than this, you remember when Stephen said he looked up into heaven, he saw Jesus Christ in heaven. He saw Him standing next to the Father. Well, that's cruel. Well, that's mean. Why would Jesus Christ, the one that loved, the one that saved, why would He be in heaven and not right there with Him? You see, Jesus Christ said, it's expedient for me to go away that I might be with you in a different way, that I might be with you in a different power, that I might be with you and you might be able to take this ministry to the uttermost parts of the world through me. Hey, I'm with you and I'll send you out 70. Hey, I'm with you and I'll give you the power, 70. But when I leave, it's expedient that I go. This power will come and you will have the truth in writing and you will take it to the world. Take it to the world. Look at Acts chapter 3. I want to read just these first, we'll just read these first, quickly read these first 11 verses of Acts chapter 3. God's Word says in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. This is coming from Pentecost. This is coming from this filling of the Spirit. This is coming from the early church of being empowered and just, you know, feeling these effects and hearing this preaching. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, men of prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, this guy, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, money, And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something other than small. Then Peter said, if you ever want to find me in the Bible, if you ever wondered, who would be a lot like me? Peter. Why? Because of Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. What was wrong with the lame man? He didn't have any strength in his feet and ankle bones. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, a little bit of a change, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That's what somebody does when they're affected. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Jesus Christ left us. In the first chapter of Acts, he ascended. God gave him an elevated position at his right hand. He sent the Comforter to take his place. He filled our early church members in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And while now we are looking up and lifting up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, and while we know the promise that He will not leave us comfortless, that He will come to us, He has sent His Spirit, and read a couple quotes from the Bible, to testify of me, to teach you in all things. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We need to take this Holy Spirit seriously. We need to take Him seriously. We need to desire Him to fill us. We need to want Him to be in us and to work through us. Jesus Christ said it's expedient. If it's expedient to Jesus Christ, it's expedient to us. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "The Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." This is an immediate illustration here in Acts chapter 3 of the Holy Spirit's power in use. I want to look at a couple of people here. I want to look at John, I want to look at Peter, and I want to look at this lame man. And I want to look at how the Holy Spirit used them. Why? Because I want to make it practical. We want to make the Holy Spirit practical in our life. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, you're in the church, like these people were. You have the Holy Spirit with you, like these people did. How can you use it? How can you use it? How can you be filled like it, like these people were? I want to notice first, John, in chapter 3. Some of you are familiar with this story, correct? You've heard this story before, probably. You've heard it probably preached before, and you'll hear it again. What does John do? John does nothing. John does nothing. He's here in these first 11 verses. Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple hour. Okay, they're walking together. Look at verse 3. The lame man, who seeing Peter and John about in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed on expecting to receive something. John is just there. Wait, but he's not just there. He's there, coming out of Acts chapter 2, and he's with Peter. Okay, I want you to tell you that the chapter before this, thousands of people were saved. Thousands of people. And the chapter after this, chapter 4, I believe in verse 4, 5,000, 3,000 people are saved. Again, by John's preaching? No. By Peter's preaching. Was John healed? No. He did nothing. But he was filled with the Spirit and he was there with Peter. He wasn't doing the preaching. He wasn't doing the healing, but he was there, and he was with him. Look, read verse 1 again. Now Peter and John went up together. Together, anytime you see a man of God used by God, you're going to find another instrumentation of God right next to him. You're going to find it. You're going to find it. Well, what did that person do? Well, they went out and they witnessed in this house and someone was saved. Was there anyone with him? Yeah, he had someone with him. Oh, I didn't think about that. Who was he? I don't remember. This person led this other person to the Lord. Hey, there was somebody with them, wasn't there? Hey, I'll tell you what, that work that Pastor Leafley's doing down there in Bible Baptist Church in Cambridge, Ohio, he's doing a great, great thing down there. It's a great church. Hey, there's somebody with him. There's somebody with him. In what capacity? You name it. Look around. It's there. You say, but he's the one preaching. Say, but he's the one behind the pulpit. Not all the time. You found that out the past week and a half, didn't you? Contemporary preachers. No. No. Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. No, look at verse 3. Who sing Peter and John. See, this man knew John was there. The man knew John was there. He might not have thought about it like we're looking at it right now, but he looked up and saw Peter and John. Look at verse 4. And Peter, I love the way this is worded, verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. Peter's looking at the lame man. He's just looking at him with John. Just with him. Just there. Guess what happens? We're not going to jump there. We're not going to jump there. With him. You say, I don't have the physical ability in my body right now to get behind a pulpit and preach. Be with the ones that do. Be with them. You say, how could the Holy Spirit of God now in this life possibly use me? I don't have the emotional capacity. I don't have the physical capacity. I might not have that calling in my life. Be filled with the Spirit and be with the ones that are. You say, what day is it? It's Wednesday. What time is it? None of your business. I can see it. All right? You say, what day is it? It's Wednesday night. Where are you? You're in church. Seeking the filling of the Spirit of God. Who are you with? You're with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have Jesus Christ with you through that Holy Spirit. You say, but I'm not the one preaching. But you're here and you're with me. And you're with God. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. You say, how can you be in the midst of something? Only God can be in the midst of something. You remember the story of the woman caught in adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, and they told the story of all those pious people standing around, and that woman that was there, and there was Jesus writing on the ground in the midst. In the midst. Writing on the ground. Jesus Christ is right now in the midst. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And it's expedient in our lives that we have Him. And it's expedient that we have Him working through us in our lives. Now, I want to throw a disclaimer out. I'm talking about seeking the hand of God. I'm talking about seeking the power of God in your life. I'm talking about every morning that I say, Jesus, I want You to work in me. God, I want You to have a work through me today. I commit my day to You. I commit my body to You. You use me. And I'm seeking what? The hand of God in my life. Can I tell you there's only one more thing important than that? That's seeking the face of God. And I'm going to throw that disclaimer out there that we're talking right now. We're focusing on the hand of God. We're focusing on the power of God. And we ask God, reach down from heaven and touch this body that's hurt. God, reach down from heaven and move in this situation. God, be with us. But it is so much more important for us to seek the face of God in a personal relationship. You're never going to have this power unless you have Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. You don't have this chapter. You don't have Jesus Christ coming down on this cross and dying for you individually. That happens before this. You don't have the power of God in your life until you seek His face. You seek His face in a personal relationship. Then He'll come down with His hand. Then He'll come down with His hand. So I'm throwing that disclaimer out there. All right, we want His hand in our life, but seek His face. Seek His face and the hand will come. All right, we're here in Acts chapter 3 and we see John together with Peter. Together with Peter. Peter's doing the preaching. Peter's winning people to Christ. Peter standing up against people. He sees this big crowd and in verse 12 he sees this big crowd and he starts preaching to this big crowd. All right, but John's there with him. John's there with him. Take that for what it's worth. John's there with him. It means a lot to people that had someone with them, man, when they're going through something, when they're going through some struggles, when they're going through some trials. Hey, man, what did that person do? They were just there. Man, they were there. All right, but John wasn't just there. He was coming out of Pentecost and he was there. Say, how in the world, if you were to stand in a situation comes out of nowhere and hits you, how could you be prepared for it? Well, if you're coming out of Pentecost, well, if you're coming out of that morning prayer, and that happens that day, you know, what if it happens 3 o'clock in the morning before you had that prayer, something like that? Well, you got woken up because you're probably not awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, but the day before you had Pentecost. You had Pentecost the day before. You were filled. You were filled. All right? Why? You spent some time in the truth. It was expedient. It was necessary. And you saw that. You saw that it was necessary. You saw it was necessary in your life. You saw you couldn't do it without it. You saw that your church needed you. You saw that your family needed you. And you said, this is expedient. I need it, and I need it now. And you sought that truth. You sought that light and that truth. And you applied it to your life. Look at Peter. Be with somebody. Be with somebody. Look at chapter 2 and verse 41. Look at chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. God's Word says, then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and unto them that day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 47. Praising God, these people, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily that should be saved. So they had 3,000 verse 41, and then daily even more and more and more in verse 47. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Alluded to it earlier. Acts chapter 4 verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So that's 8,000 people putting the 3 and the 5 together, and then a bunch of others. Maybe another 5,000, maybe another 3,000, maybe 2, maybe daily. I mean, day after day after day, people are being saved, and being added to the church. So how in the world did Peter find time to heal this one lame man? And he's preaching to thousands. He's a Billy Graham. I mean, he's a, you know, the Tom Brady. What? How does he have time to go down and find that one autograph? You know, how does he have that time? He's preaching to all those people. I'm not exhorting either of those two people. All right? No, I'm not even going to go there. All right, but if you have a... He's preaching to 3,000 are saved, and then daily saved, and later on 5,000 are saved. How did he, when he's thinking about, well, we had 3,000 people saved the other day, and another, and yesterday, man, the church is growing. How did he ever find time for that one lame man? I'm going to show you how. An illustration. Let me show you. Look at him. Look at him. Hey, you care about that person? Go over there and do that for him. Why don't you pray for your brother that's over in Congo and needs it? Hey, why don't you pray for a Bible Baptist Church down in Cambridge? They need it. Hey, you don't even know it, but a Christian somewhere is going through it. Pray. Pray. But I'm at work, and I got to move these boxes around. And I mean, I got to stock this, or I got to move that, or I got to kick this bull, or whatever you do when you're at work. All right, I got stuff to do. All right, I got all these things to do. How could I? Because the Holy Spirit told him to. Because the Holy Spirit said, somebody needs you. That guy, what's he ever going to do? He's going to be preached about 2,000 years later. Repeatedly. What's that guy ever going to do? He needs you. He's willing. He'll yield. He's tender. He's soft. He'll listen. Hey, present the gospel. He'll listen. He'll take it. Oh, he probably just wants some alms. Initially, yeah. Go to him. Go to him. Peter. In all this preaching that he was doing, in all this big ministry that he was doing, in all the busyness of his life, he had time. He had the time, and he took the time. He took the time for the one. He took the time for the one. Real quick, I'm going to tell you about a couple times that I wrote down from in the Bible. In the book of Job, there's a time of trouble. Psalms, a time when thou mayest be feared. Evil time, time I was afraid. Acceptable time in the New Testament. My short time, David said. The dividing of time, the Lord talks about in the book of Daniel. Time of visitation. Time of love. time to seek the Lord, a time of refreshing, of restitution, a time to awake, God talks about. And He tells us in the Bible that, yes, you might be busy, but hey, I brought you here on this Wednesday night, and it is a time to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It is expedient. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't put it off to next week. Your family can't handle it. Your family cannot wait any longer. Your church needs you now. There is a lame man that needs healed. Take the time. Well, what could possibly be done? Take the time. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, take the time. Now. 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 Take the time. The time when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. There's a time for many things in the Bible. Which one are you talking about? Which one's He telling you to do? Which time will it be next time? Maybe it comes to mind. When the Holy Spirit pricks the heart. When the Holy Spirit pricks the heart and you kick against that. And you're wounded and it heals over and you kick against it. And you're wounded and it heals over and you kick against it and you start to not feel it anymore. And you start to not feel it anymore. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But the more you do it, scar tissue, scar tissue, scar tissue, you don't feel it anymore. And it doesn't matter. Yield. Yield. Say yes to Jesus. Yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. There's a time for it and the time is now. The time is at hand. 1 Peter 1:11 says, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, listen to this. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. The blessing is there. The work is there. The time is at hand. It's time to read the Word of God. And it's time to heed the Word of God. It's time to be filled with the Spirit. It's time for that. Peter had a lot going on, but he had time for that lame man. You know why? Honestly, you know why? Because in God's eyes, 5,000 being saved equals one lame man being healed. In God's eyes, 5,000, 3,000 every day added to the church. In God's eyes, obedience is obedience. Yielding to the Spirit is yielding to the Spirit. And preaching to 5,000 equals being with that preacher. Equals being with that preacher. There will be many in heaven that will say, and you've heard it before, what did that person do? They were obedient to the Spirit of God. And it is expedient in our time, in our day, in this church. It is expedient for us to be yielding to the Spirit of God and for Him to be working in our life. Let's look real quick at Acts chapter 3. Let's look real quick at this lame man. Real quick. Real quick. Look at verse 7. He took him by the right hand, the healing of this lame man, Peter, and he took him by the right hand, Acts chapter 3, verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I said quickly, but we're going to pause. Immediately. Immediately. Can I tell you that when the hand of God touches your life, it's not a progression. It's not a... You know, boy, it's good now, and I can't wait. It's going to get a little better, and it's going to get a little better, and it's going to get a little better. Man, it's immediately. It is immediately. When you were an unsaved man or woman, when you were unsaved, and you yielded your heart to God, when that same Holy Spirit was pricking your heart, and you opened up and you yielded to God, and He answered like He promises He will, it was immediate. It was immediate. You say, what will happen tonight? God's speaking to my heart. What will happen tonight if I say yes? It'll be immediate. Whatever that lame spot in your life is, and I'm not talking about dorky, whatever that lame spot in your life is, it'll be unlame. Unlame. Strength will be given to that part. What part? Those ankles. That feet. Whatever it is. It'll receive strength. Look at verse 8. And he leaping up stood, that's what happens to somebody, like when you sing, it is well, with my soul. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in, what's that word? With. Kind of like John was with Peter. And now the lame man is with John, with Peter. The group is getting bigger. See, when John, what was John doing? Well, the lame man saw, you remember when we showed it, the lame man saw that he was with him. It said he looked up and saw him and saw him with him. He saw John with him. And now what's the lame man doing? He's with him too. And then guess what happens? They walk into the synagogue, into the temple. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know what happened was they looked around that room and they saw Peter and they saw John, the beloved, and they saw the lame man. The lame man. The formerly lame man. When people look at you, what do they see? Is that man still lame? Is that man still lame? Or when they look at you, do they see, what's that lame man? To John and Peter, an evidence of God working through them? So when they look at you, are there any lame men in your life? There's another one. I'm not that person. Are there any lame? You need to have a lame man in your life. You need to have some evidences. Hey, that didn't used to be that way. Now it is. What happened? And there was an immediate reaction in that person's heart and something changed. And they're not the same person anymore. They're not the same person anymore. They were headed this way. They're headed this way now. They're not kind of heading that way while they're being dragged this way. They're different. They receive strength. They've got some signs and some evidences. And if I were to stand in the temple with you and we were all be standing around and we were to look at you, would there be any evidence? Would there be any change? Would there be any signs of life? Would anything be different? Would there be some power? Would there be some lame men in your life? We need to have it. What does it matter? I don't want the lame man in my life. Look at verse 11. You don't want this in your life. What would that lame man ever do for Peter and John? Look at that. God's word is amazing. Look at that sentence. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. You say, but I'm strong. I'm preaching to 3,000. I'm preaching to 5,000. I'm building a church here in Jerusalem. Or whatever that. I'm preaching a church here. And I'm making a difference. And I'm touching lives and I'm healing people. You see, that strength will fade. That strength might go away. What is it that will hold you up when you need it? You see, you might want that power in your life because you might need it more than you think you do. That lame man, look at that verse 11 again, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Held them. Held them. Hey, it'll make a difference. That thing that you do, that change that you allow God to do, you don't know what direction, what was about to happen that very next day. Hey, you don't know what was the very next step. Hey, you don't know exactly why you needed that change to be there. But that lame man that you witnessed to, that lame man that you changed, That obedience that you give to the Spirit of God, that yielding spirit that you give to God, yes, I'll go do that thing that you want me to do. I'll make that change you want me to make. I'll apply that to my life. Don't ever be acceptable. Don't ever find the state you came into this building acceptable. Don't ever stay there. Always when you sit down in that pew, wait, I'm going to walk up different. I'm going to stand up different. There's a lame man in my life, and that man needs to be healed. That difference needs to be made. And that same difference you make will hold you. It'll give you strength right back. You say, what's a standard? You know, what's having a standard in my life? God says, do this. I'm not doing it now. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. Why would I do this? Why would I do that? Why should I? Scar tissue. Yield, because that same thing will hold you. We need to have some lame men in our life. Is there proof of the power of God in your life? Or is the lame man still lame? Maybe you can't do what Peter's doing, but you can do what John's doing. Maybe that Holy Spirit of God hasn't touched your life yet. Maybe you're still outside the gate. You need to get in. It's expedient. It's expedient. You need the Spirit of God in your life. That same Spirit that was working in that day and age is working today. That same Spirit is leading you toward truth tonight. That's amazing. That's amazing. That same Spirit is leading you toward truth tonight. Is He simply convicting you? Is He calling you? Is He comforting you? You know that He was sent from heaven. He was sent from Jesus Christ to speak to your heart tonight. Respond. Respond. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Bible tells us that it was expedient. The verse actually says it is. It is expedient. It's expedient tonight. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Why? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the message You brought to our hearts tonight. God, we thank You for the praise given earlier. God, may the praise given after the service be better than it was before. God, may our heart's condition be drawn closer to You. May we be yielded and softened, God, to the prodding and the pricking of the Holy Spirit. God, we love You and we want to say yes to You tonight. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. With your head still bowed and your eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart as the music begins to play, say yes to Jesus. If He's spoken to your hearts, say yes. Say yes. He has something for you. He has something He wants you to do. Say yes. Say yes. You might not be as susceptible to that prodding tomorrow. If He's speaking to your heart now, say yes. Say yes. There's some work that needs to be done in your life. There's some filling of the Spirit that's filled with other stuff. Does something need to be removed? That the Holy Spirit of God might have room in your heart. Has God spoken to your heart before tonight and you've always said no? If He's speaking to your heart tonight, say yes. Maybe you've never received that promise of the Spirit. I don't know your heart's condition. Say yes to Jesus tonight. Maybe you just want to thank God that He's used you to be with someone in the past. Maybe God's given you someone today that's been with you. Maybe you want to thank Him for that.
And respond to Him. Desiring to walk filled with the Spirit of God, desire and sincere desire every day to please Him? God's spoken to you tonight. If He hasn't spoken to you, maybe you need to ask Him why. Why would God call this group together and put a preacher up there and open the Word of God and not speak to your heart? Having Him speak to your heart would be a blessing. Dismiss in prayer. Bob, if you go.